My message is God fights the battle for us. Amen? I should say God fought the battle for us, because how many know the devil's been defeated? God already paid the price for us. He defeated the devil a long time ago. And the Bible says that where is he at, ladies? He is under our feet. That means we walk on the enemy. We walk on discouragement. We walk on fears. We don't let those things control us, but we control them because what God did for us. Amen? The only right that the enemy has against you is he just wants to bully you. The enemy's like a big old bully. He's been defeated. He has no power. He has no authority. He has no right over you. People say, the devil made me do it. Don't know the truth. Because the devil can't make you do anything. God gave you a free will. He gave you a choice to choose right. He gave you the ability to know that he's a great big God and he's got everything under control. But the enemy comes and you know what he does? He bullies us. He tries to intimidate us. He tries to put fear in us. And most of all, you know what he tries to do? Wear us out. The enemy tries to make us tired. You know, I did this rehearsal with this crew last night. We were choreographing. And boy, by the time I was done, I was tired. I mean, my hair was sweating, just like after dancing, it was sweating, and it was fuzzy, and I was huffing and puffing, and that's what the enemy wants to do to you spiritually, is he wants you to tangle with him. He wants you to think that you're defeated, and that the struggles you go through, you're not going to win the victory. But all he can do is be a big bully and intimidate you, and make you feel worthless, make you feel like you're not good enough. But God already paid the price for you. He already did all that he's going to do. And the enemy, if he can get you to be working your life, trying to work your circumstance out, you know, if you're having financial problems and you feel like you got to get 10 jobs to figure out the finances, the enemy's got you tangling with you in the ring. He's got you working hard. He's got you busy. He's getting you trying to figure out how to fix this and how do I figure that. And the whole time we're doing this in the spirit. The whole time we're dancing for our family. I'm dancing to make my children figure that out. I'm dancing to make my husband happy. I'm dancing to make myself happy. And the whole time I'm doing this and I'm wondering why I'm getting tired. Why do I want to quit? Why do I want to give up? Because I've taken on the responsibility and I have forgotten that I serve a great big God. I serve a God who has never lost one battle in his life. He's undefeated. When Jesus came here, the Bible says he went through everything that we went through without fault. And he never lost a battle, ladies. And when we saw God step in that ring, what did that girl have to do? All she had to do was get into God's word. And then you know what? God says, I'll fight the battle for you. I want to put up that scripture verse this afternoon, Exodus 14:14. It says this, it was my theme scripture for the illustration, but it says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your what? Peace. God says, I'm going to fight for you. I'll do all that needs to be done, but there's a requirement. I need you to hold your peace. That means to be silent. That means to be quiet. It's kind of like Mom was saying this morning. I don't know, was it yakety yak, yak, yak? Shuddy, shuddy, shuddy. God wants us to hold our peace, ladies. And even though storms are raging around you, and there are disappointments, and there are life circumstances, and life happens, right? We have life happening. God says, in the middle of that circumstance, before it ever changes, I want you to hold your peace. I don't need you to hold your peace when I fix it. I need you to hold your peace while you're in it. When you're facing your fear, when you wake up depressed, when you wake up disappointed, when you got that husband next to you that's grouchy and ornery, God says, hold your peace. One day I asked the Lord, I like to ask God questions sometimes, and I said, God, what is peace? I mean, we know what peace is, but I just want to know what the Lord had to say about peace. The Lord told me this, as plain as day. I had a notebook and a pen. The Lord says, peace is silence in a multitude of noise. That everything can be raging around you, and all of life is still happening. But when I'm into God's word, or when I'm focused and positioned where I'm supposed to be, I get to hold my peace and let that stuff begin to happen. And I can rest assured that God is taking care of it for me. See, when we're trying to work it ourselves, ladies, we know when we're trying to do it ourselves, right? I don't have to explain that to you. We know. When we're in our emotions, we're working it ourselves. When we're frustrated, we're working it ourselves. When we're tired, we're working it ourselves. When we begin to do those things, you know what we're saying to God? I don't trust you, God. Well, yes, I do. No, you don't. Because when you trust someone, you let go. I don't know how this is going to happen, God. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But I'm finally going to let go of the reins. And I'm going to let you be God. And I'm going to let you fight the battle for me. And I don't care what the circumstance looks like. As long as you're standing in Christ Jesus, you know your position. Ephesians says when you've done all the stand, you stand there for. So when you've done all you know to do, ladies, when you've fought the good fight of faith, and you've wrestled a little bit with the enemy, but you're in Christ Jesus, and I know every one of you this afternoon are in Christ Jesus, and I know those of you that came into the kingdom today, when you know that position, you can rest assured that God is behind the scenes working for you. But it's like my mom said, that revolving door. You're going in trusting God, and you're coming out doing it yourself. You're going in and trusting God. You're coming out and you're doing it yourself. And God's going, what do you want? Do you want me to do it? Or do you want to do it? And I think sometimes we feel like we have to make something happen, don't we? Because women, we're doers. We're makers. We got the task. We can do 10 things at once, can't we? So when we're created like that, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to do nothing and simply just trust God. And I don't mean just sit back and be like, well, God's got it all under control, you know. You know, I ain't talking that. But I'm talking about when you're in Christ and you really know who God is and you really know who you are and you've done all you know to do. Girls, you've fasted, you've prayed, you've seated in. You've done all you know to do. Then guess what? I get to sit back and I get to hold my peace. And I have to trust that, God, you are working it out on my behalf. You're making a way where there seems to be no way. You're working on the heart of that individual that you need to deal with. See, if I go try to work the situation out, I'm going to make a mistake. And I'm going to do it in the flesh. I've done that so many times. But we get to lean on a daddy God that knows it all. He knows the beginning and the end. He knew the situation you're in, and he knows how to get you out of it. And it's when we sit back and we lean on and trust in God, then God goes, okay, finally. He says, that's why when we grow weary, we're really strong. When we are weak, he says, really, you're strong. Because when you're at your weakest point and you feel like giving in and you're discouraged, it's finally when we go, oh, and we let go. And God goes, finally, finally, daughter, give that husband to me. Give those children to me. Give those finances to me. Give your destiny to me. Give it to me because I'm God. And I know how to make a way where there is no way. And I know how to fix that mistake. And I know how to give your favor. And I know how to do that because I'm God. And that's my place. You know, I know whenever I'm going through anything in my life or I'm struggling, the first person I call is my dad. Why? Because dads get you out of trouble. My dad did it my whole life. He was always getting me out of some kind of trouble. Because there's a reliance you can have on that figure, that father figure. Same with God. There's a reliance, and that's maybe why God had to set you women free to know God as your father. That we can lean on him and go, man. And really, it gets to the point where if God don't do something about it, I can't do anything anyway. We've exhausted our odds, haven't we? We've done all we've known to do. We have to let go, and we have to let God. So I want you to see that God fights the battle for you. That's number one in this victory that I'm gonna explain to you today how God does it for you. Number one, he fights the battle for you. In 2 Chronicles 20, I want you to flip over there this morning. And normally, I like to put little tabs in my Bible. 1 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm. Okay, as long as I know it's before Psalms, I do pretty good. All right, I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 20. And I'm going to give you, I believe, 5 ways that God fights the battle for you so you don't have to fight it for yourself. And in your little bags are notes that you can take, a little sheets of paper you can take notes on. So, okay, sorry, ladies. 2 Chronicles 20 says this, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, now Pastor Gloria talked about the Ammonites, remember the Ites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared, now stop right there. what's happening? There are a group of the enemies that are coming to destroy Judah. There's an assignment. The enemies come. They say, we're going to come, and we're on assignment, and we're going to destroy Judah. Jehoshaphat is the ruler of Judah. He gets word that the enemy's coming to destroy him. The first thing that happens to him is what? Fear. Why? Because he knows the enemy. He knows the destruction forces of the ites and their behavior. He's thinking, oh my gosh, they're coming against me to destroy me. What am I going to do? But what you're going to see happen with Jehoshaphat was he didn't stop there. It goes on to say that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. See, when you have the enemy coming against you, and maybe he's been constantly coming against you, our first response is to react. Our first response is to get into our emotions and get discouraged and get defeated or get afraid. And how am I going to get out of it? And how's it all going to turn out? And we can do that, but then we're fighting the battle for ourselves. So when you've got something coming against you, I've got to stop in the middle of my situation, and I've got to set to seek the Lord. When you're facing a situation, you cannot hear God in your emotions. You can't hear God when you're all crazy, ladies. Because we can get crazy, can't we? From our emotions, to estrogen, to progesterone, to whatever hormones else is kicking inside of us alive and well, I'm having a talk with Jesus when I get there. Because I don't understand why we got all this stuff working. Men, they just get one, testosterone. We have that too. Did you know that? Oh, okay, ladies. Yeah. Oh, those are the happy marriages right there. Go ask them for their doctor. Make your man happy, right? Yeah. Who is that, Tammy? Ram. Get it, girl. But we can get crazy. And when we're all wound up with the enemy, and again, he's defeated, but he's bullying you, and those circumstances are screaming louder in your face than you can hear God. And you have to stop your world. You ever run those merry-go-round things and then get off of it? Remember when you were a kid and they'd push you, and then you get off and you're all like, you can't even catch your bearings. And then that's how it is when the enemy's just coming left and he's coming right, and there's this bill and there's this and everything's happening. We're so overwhelmed that we're used to living on that ride. And then we get off of it and it takes a minute to realize who you are and get your bearings. And where am I looking? The tree's there, but then it's over here and then it's, right? You can't see clearly when the enemy's been messing with you. But you get your bearings and you settle down. And you know that the Lord fights the battle for you. And then you ask God, what's going on? And what am I going to do, God? And how did I get in this situation? And how am I going to get out of it? See, God longs to talk to you ladies. And you may feel like you're not worthy to hear God, or maybe you're not capable of hearing God, but God says that my sheep know my voice and no other will they follow. So you have the ability to hear God in the middle of your circumstance. God can tell you why a certain someone is acting crazy right now. He will. Your husband may be on 10 right now, and you think it's one thing, and you can react to it. Now you're going boxing in your flesh, or you can stop and inquire of the Lord. What's going on in my husband's life, God? Is he stressed? Is he overwhelmed? Are there things going on at work? Let the Lord talk to you. Because when you hear from God, that is 99% of the freedom. When you get your word from God. Then you go, okay, I can deal with him being crazy now because I know he's going through something. You can ask God over your children. Why are my children like this? Why aren't they serving you? Holy Spirit will speak to you. We just got to take time to stop. You ever talk to somebody who's too busy? And you're trying to talk to them, but they're just all over, and they ain't really hearing you anyway. I know I've done that to some of you sometimes. I'm sorry. It's true. When I'm on property, I'm on task. I know, Linda, but I love you so much. I do. I get on task sometimes. But it's frustrating because you're like, are you really hearing me? I'll do that to my mom. Mom, are you listening? Yes, honey. And then she'll repeat everything. She is. Frustrating. I wanted to get her. But we can't hear clearly from God. when we're too engaging in the situation. We have to see that we can talk to the Lord. It says this in verse 3. It said, "And Jehoshaphat feared the Lord, set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea." Verse 4. "So Judea gathered together to ask help from the Lord." So how did Jehoshaphat win this battle? He didn't go out and just start fighting. He asked of the Lord. He asked for the Lord's help. Now, we don't ignore the situation. I'm facing it. Here it is. Lord, I need your help. My mom used to say something to me growing up. She said, I'd say, "God, what are you going to do about it?" You know, "God, what are you going to do about it? Because I can't do anything about it." You know, "God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your insight in the situation. I need your anointing." I call on the anointing all the time. There's a broken computer. I'm calling on the anointing to fix it. Why? Because the anointing speaks to me. You call upon the anointing in your situation. Call upon the Lord. He is going to fight for you. He's your warrior. He's your go-behind. He's your favor. He's your deliverer. He's your healer. And He's waiting anxiously to fight for you. So when I'm in a situation, you're going to leave here today and you're going to face something. And you have to say, "God, I call on help from you." You see how the dad embraced the little girl when he came on out? He came out on the scene, he hugged her and he said, "Don't worry about it, I got it." And that's how God is. When you look up to Him, God, He's like, "Don't worry about it, I got you. I'm going to make a way for you. Don't worry about it." Then my peace, holding my peace, goes, man, I get to just love God. I get to just be in my Word. I get to just love my children, go to my work and enjoy my work and know that God is working it out for me because He loves me. It goes on over to verse 15. It said the prophet Jehazel got a word. He said to them, "Listen, all you of Judea and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God." He said, "Don't worry, Jehoshaphat, I'll take care of it." And then it goes on in verse 17, I want you to see this. "You will not need to fight in this battle, but position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." So what is our job, women? To position ourselves and stand still. Positioning myself means I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know that I'm a righteous woman of God. I know that I'm the head and I am not the tail. I know that my God fights the battle for me. What am I doing? I'm taking my stance of faith. I'm releasing me and I'm releasing God. God says, take your position, ladies, of faith. And know that I'm going to work it out for your good. And I'm going to take care of it. But we grow weary. He says, position yourself. And in the end of verse 17, it said, "For do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord is with you." Amen? God is with you, ladies. And He's fighting for you. He's making a way. We got to let go. We got to be women of faith. And we've got to trust God. We don't have to do it all. We can let Daddy God do it. All right, it also says in, if you'll put up Isaiah 63:4, what happens sometimes is that we get impatient, don't we, ladies? Have you ever felt like God's not moving fast enough? And that God is maybe moving too slow, so we feel like we need to move on His behalf. But it says in Isaiah 63:4, it says this, "For the day of the vengeance," look at this, "is in my heart." God says, the day of vengeance for you, it's in my heart. I have it for you. That word vengeance means to bring punishment inflicted in retaliation with great force. God says, I have punishment and retaliation for you with great force in my heart. I want to fight for you. And I'm doing it, but trust me. Let me do it in my time frame. Let me do it in my way. We may have been waiting for a year, 2 years, 10 years, I've waited for God a long time for some things too. But we still have to know that it's in God's heart to fight for you. And it will be on God's timetable. Because God knows what He's doing behind the scenes that you don't know. Let's say God's working on the heart of that unbeliever. My stance is, I got to stand still and trust God that that person's coming into the kingdom because it's according to God's word. Why? Because it's in the heart of God to destroy that flesh of that person and bring them into His righteousness, right? That's in the heart of God to bring that for you. But sometimes we get in the flesh and we try to go mess in it and work it out. Or maybe get religious with that person or hurt them or whatever it is. And we get busy in it. What does it do? It pushes the will of God back even further. Because now we're getting in God's business. We're getting in God's work. We start putting our flesh in it. And God's like, well, now I got to take it this way. And I got to work it out. Just I'll do it because it's in my heart. But if you would stay out of it, I could do it a lot faster. I was like, I love you, but whoa. Chill out. I've learned every time I make a decision in my emotions and flesh hastily, I always make the wrong one. The best wisdom I can give you is take a deep breath, reevaluate what you're about to do and respond, think it through to the end. Is it worth it? Or can I go back to trusting God that even though I'm freaking out about the situation, I don't want to get in God's business? Because I know He says it's in His heart. If it's in His heart, I have to trust God, right? Because that's what His word says. And the year of my redeemed has come. That word redeemed means setting free, bringing back something, a person that was lost through helplessness, poverty, or violence. Redeemer is the one who's redeeming you is the stronger position for the weaker. That means God says, my year of redeeming you is coming to pass. I'm the stronger. I'm coming in the weaker situation. But we have got to trust God at His timetable. We got to trust God that He's working it out and stay out of what He's doing, right? Romans 12:19 says this, and this will go on the screen. It says this, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Vengeance is who? The Lord. He said, "I will repay." That means I don't have to go fix anything. He's going to fix it for me. I'll give you an example. I don't know if anybody's ever been wrongly accused of something. That's probably the most frustrating thing to go through. When somebody accuses you of something you know you didn't do, or the situation doesn't look like what it was. Or maybe we want to be proved right in a situation and we look so wrong in it. And that is frustrating. And we get in there and we try to change the image, don't we? We try to figure it out and prove our point. And I learned a long time ago, I can't prove my point because it's like being in quicksand. The more I try to prove the right I am, the deeper I'm getting in this sinking quicksand. That's hard to say. Say that three times fast. Sinking quicksand. There we go. Sinking quicksand. Right? Because you can't make yourself right. Only God can make you right. I remember when I went through something quite some time ago, the Lord says, "In your silence and confidence will be your strength." That was God's nice way of saying, keep your mouth shut. It was. In your silence and in your confidence, knowing I'm God, that will be your strength. Why? Because vengeance is mine, says God. I'll make you look good in the end. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of you. Because it's in my heart to do so. And I remember there was a time a few years back I was horribly wrongfully accused of something. It was on my job and somebody accused me of something and there was nothing I could do to say I was right or wrong. I was just accused and the situation I got, I don't want to say punished for it, but in trouble for it or whatever, And I was just like, are you kidding me? Somebody lied on me. They were jealous, blah, blah, blah. They went behind my back, changed the whole story. And I just knew that I just got to keep my mouth shut. Even though I knew my heart was pure and I knew that my heart wasn't anything that they said it was, I had to trust God that vengeance is His. And I had to guard my heart in it. And I had to go, I'm not going to get bitter, and I'm not going to get angry, and I'm not going to get rebellious towards authority, and I'm not going to get mad at the person who went behind my back because they were jealous, because the Holy Spirit, I asked the Lord, said they were jealous of you, so they tried to undermine you. I, and I, I hugged them. I never told them I was mad at them. Why? Because I'm going to lean on God. And I'm going to trust that my true heart's going to come to the forefront. And do you know it took one full year for that to happen? 1 year. And finally, that person went to the person. They lied on me, confessed it. And they both came to me and repented and said they were sorry. Why? Because it's in the heart of God to have vengeance for me. God says, I'll take care of you. You don't have to go validate. You don't have to figure out. God says, I will repay you if you'll trust me. Right? All right. It may take a little longer than you think, but trust God. It may take a while for the finances to work out. It's okay. Maybe the husband won't serve God right now, but God's working it out for you because he loves you. Okay. So the battle's not mine, but it's the Lord. The battle is against my mind. It's going to come against my emotions. It's going to come against my flesh. But the battle's not mine. It is God, right? Okay, so number one, God will fight for you. Number two, the Lord will trouble your enemies. God will trouble your enemies. You don't have to worry about your enemies. In Exodus 14, I'm going to move really fast. Exodus 14, we know the story. The children of Israel were coming out of captivity from Egypt. The Bible says that God moved the heart of the king in favor for the Israelites to be released out of captivity. What does that mean? God moves the hearts of the king. So if you're in a situation and you need God's favor, God will move on the heart of that person. Let God move on the heart of that king. So they got favor. They're coming out of captivity. What does that sound like? Our walk in Christ. I'm bound in slavery and in disappointment and fear. And God says, I'm going to give you freedom. Remember when you first got saved? You're like, hallelujah. God's a great big God. Amen. I love the Lord. You're telling everybody about Jesus, right? You're like, yeah, my God's good. He set me free. You're living on this high. And then you come to your Red Sea crossing. What? Wait a minute. God just set me free. God, what? You took me out of, and I'm facing this gigantic situation. I can't cross. I can't go around. God, where are you? You have forsaken me. Now I get word the enemy's chasing me. Are you kidding me? The Egyptians, the word says, was coming on their backside. They were stuck at the Red Sea. They had nowhere to go. They couldn't go forward. They definitely couldn't go back. And they begin to get angry with God. You ever find yourself in a situation where you're like, what, God? I'm too far in my walk with God to ever go back. But I'm facing this Red Sea and I don't know how to get across of it. What are we going to do? The Bible says that's what the children of Israel at. So in Exodus 14, verse 13, it says this. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, Moses knew who God was. Verse 14, it goes on to say, the Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. What was he trying to tell them? Relax. God's fighting for you. Hold your peace. The people were frustrated. They were afraid. But God said, I want you to look over in verse 14. After he said, Moses, stand still, hold your peace, people. Verse 24 says this. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire in the cloud. Verse 25, he being God. This is so cool. I never really noticed this before, but this is so cool. God is so cool. He said this, and he, God, took off their chariot's wheels so that they drove heavy and difficulty. I never saw that before until I started digging deeper. God's saying to the millions of people, I'll fight the battle for you. Moses is saying, hold your peace. It's all right. We don't know what we're going to do, but God's going to fight this battle for us. Now, I'm sure the million people, maybe the people that were like number one by the Red Sea, did not get the memo that God was going to take off their chariot wheels. Right? I don't think anybody knew what God was going to do. But Moses was saying, I know God. He's going to take care of us. He brought us this far. He'll continue to bring us. God says, I'll trouble your enemies. God went as far as to break the wheels off of the chariots of those enemies so that their weight drug in the sand. Bible says also, after God fought the battle for them, I want you to see something. In the next verses, verse 27 and 28, it said that the Lord overthrew them, but Moses was empowered with supernatural ability to take his rod, lay it on the Red Sea, and divide the Red Sea for everybody to walk over on dry land. When you allow God to fight the battle for you, and you surrender it to Him, He empowers you with the supernatural to face your situation and get the victory. Why? Because I'm trusting God to trouble my enemies. What if those children of Israel would have turned around and tried to fight their enemy and not trust God? They'd have been devoured. They'd have been destroyed. What if they'd have ran after the enemy or in fear before God had a chance to knock the wheels off? I mean, I know we serve God and God's a great big God. But you see what I'm saying? They didn't know what God was going to do. They had to stand and trust God. God empowers you and He begins to trouble. That word trouble means worry. So while I'm standing in peace, while you're happy and at peace, guess what? Your enemy's worried. You don't know what's going on in their hearts, but they're worried. Why? Because God is troubling them. God's working on the hearts on your behalf, right? So when God fights the battle for you, He will empower you. So number two, He will trouble the enemy. Number three, God will cause your enemies to be afraid. In 2 Kings 7, verses 5 through 7, do you guys wish I had put all the verses up on the screen? Yes, no? It's too late because I didn't, but I'm just wondering. All right, 2 Corinthians 5 through 7. God will cause your enemies to be afraid. It says this. Now, let's go ahead and start up in verse 3. Now, there were four leprous men at the end. Let me just set the story without having to go into the whole thing. The Syrians, who was an enemy of the Israelites, took over Samaria, which is where the Israelites were living. They came in and took over their entire land, all their jobs, all their money. They bullied their way in. Everybody that lived in Israel was pushed out of where they belonged. Now, there's these two leprous men standing at the gate, and they're thinking, well, what do I got to lose? If I sit out here, I'm going to die. If I go into the city, I'm going to die. So why don't we take a chance and sneak into the city and try to get some food or do something along that line? But what they didn't know is, as they were going back in by faith, God says that later when they went into the city was entirely empty. Everybody was driven out. And when they were driven out, they were yelling out, screaming, saying they heard chariots and they heard horses and they heard men of war coming to fight in the city. See, when they went in and trusted God, God rattled a sound of fear to the enemy, and the enemy had to back off. See, when you're trusting God, God says, I will trouble that enemy. I will make them afraid. I'm going to work on their heart. Behind the scenes, when you don't know what's going on. See, we're standing in our own fear and we're troubled, but God says, let me trouble the enemy. Let me trouble the situation. Let me have them run in fear. And when they went back into the city, they left all the spoil behind and they became wealthy, wealthy people. Because God put fear in the hearts of the enemy. All of a sudden, in that moment, what happened? The enemy had power, didn't he? He had control. He owned everything. Had driven everybody out of their joy, their peace, their homes. But in one second, when God troubled their heart and put fear in them, drove them out, it gave the Israelites control back again. It gave them power. In one moment, when you feel under, by God, He can make you on top. You know, I believe God is ringing a subtly moment in our lives. And then if we just trust Him, in one moment, He will switch gears on you. And when you're in debt, He's going to make you debt-free. If you're a renter, He's going to make you an owner. If you're an employee, He'll make you an employer. God will take your situation. You single and you want to get married, He'll make you married. Right? In one moment, God can trouble everything behind the scenes and give you power and put you back on top. Why? Because that's God. If you're broke, He'll make you rich. Amen? Because He's going to trouble my enemy. There's a story I found in Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria. this nun decided to move in this, I guess it was a rented home, and there was the landlord underneath, and he had family members in some of the units or whatever. And so this nun moved into this house, had nowhere to live, and so she was renting a room. Well, her first night there, she decided to pray. She was talking to God and praying. And that next night, the next morning, the landlord walks up and goes, "What was all that noise coming from this apartment?" He said it was just rattling. It was like this terror that was going through this landlord's ears. And she's like, "I was just praying quietly in my living room." Well, the next night, she thought, "Well, what's the big deal?" So she started praying again. All of a sudden, landlord's knocking on the door. This terror, like, "I'm hearing this terror and this, all this stuff is going on." She said, "Well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just praying." Well, eventually, after a couple of days, she went down. It was quiet. Went down. Everyone in the house was driven out and left the land. And she actually became the owner and the landowner of that apartment building. Because that guy heard something in the spirit as she was just seeking God. He began to trouble things and make things happen for her. And that's how God wants to do it for you. God can take you from the bottom and put you on top. He'll cause your enemy to hear things. Think about that. You need favor? God can let them hear what He wants. God can do that because He's God. You think someone in your life who doesn't know Christ can't hear God? They'll hear what God wants them to hear. The employer needs to give you a promotion and a raise, they're going to hear for you. Why? Because God will do that. That leaped in my spirit when I'm like, "Well, God can make them hear noises of chariots. They'll hear my name. People will hear my name and want to favor me and bless me and promote me." It's the same thing. You need a situation to shift in your life, God will give you favor in it. He'll trouble the situation and honor for you. Okay, number four, the Lord will use natural circumstances to destroy your enemy. And in Judges 7, verses 9 through 10, this is the story of Gideon. I love the story of Gideon. It's probably one of my favorite stories. Let me go there. Joshua, Judges. Now, at this point in the story, Gideon had been down to 300 men. If you haven't read this story before, I just encourage you to read it because it's so amazing how God is. But Gideon was down to 300 men at this point. And in Judges 7, verse 9, it says this. They were all in captivity. They had lost everything. The enemy was laying there. Enemy was at the camp, and it said this. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hands. But if you are afraid, go down. If you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant." I want to stop there for a minute. When you're going to face situations in your life and you're trusting God, but you're having a difficult time, get a girlfriend. Get someone with you that can stand with you through your situation. The Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000 to flight. And that way you don't feel like you're fighting your battle alone. I have learned too, when I talk with other sisters in the Lord, that when I find out I'm not the only one going through something, it makes me feel better. I realize I'm not the only one who had to face that. So doesn't it free you up? Like, oh, I'm not just crazy. That we all go through stuff. We all have trials. And God even said, listen, if you don't want to go alone, take someone with you. Take them with you. And so, he did. It said this, verse 12, "Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as the locusts." Now think how overwhelming this was for Gideon. His enemy was like locusts. Gideon was down to 300 men. Really not in the natural going to win this battle, right? But God told him to go fight, and you'll win the battle. So it goes on to say they're numerous. Now look at this, verse 13. "When Gideon had come," he was spying out the enemy, "there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, 'I had a dream to my surprise. A loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and stuck so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed.' Then his companion answered and said," this is the part I want you to hear, "'this is nothing else.'" Now remember, they don't know Gideon's listening. He's hiding in the woods. "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon and the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered the Midianites and the whole camp." That man had a dream that God was going to give victory to Gideon. God can give your enemy a dream to put fear in them to give you victory. What am I showing you here? God is moving on your behalf. He gave a dream, made this man say it, it empowered Gideon to say, hey, let's go back. We got the victory because I know they're in fear right now. They're trembling. We can go get the victory. God can speak to your situation through dreams. He can speak to your husband through dreams. He can speak to your children through dreams. We're not saying God's going to put terror and fear on them, but I'm saying God can speak to them. That's the ability. Lord, you can release them and say, God, give them a dream. Maybe who you're working for, Lord, give them a dream about me to promote me. Give them a dream to favor me. God will give them dream to give you honor, that you will stand out in the midst. God can turn your situation around. Amen? What do we see here? God fought the battle for him, he already said, and then God empowered Gideon to win that battle in the supernatural. He went down with 300 men and wiped them out and got the victory. So when you let God fight for you, he empowers you for the supernatural, and it will come to pass. All right, let's look at, another situation in Joshua 10:10. I just want to show you this. It says, the Lord discomforted them before Israel, slew them with the great slaughter of Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beharon. I hate reading all these things. Let me just summarize it here for you. Israel was trying to destroy their enemy, and God says, we're going to overtake them. They killed a few of them, but what did God do? He used a natural circumstance. God sent hailstone against the enemy and destroyed them with hail. Has anybody ever been in a hailstorm before in the Midwest? I know we've definitely had them. God used a natural circumstance to destroy the enemy. It says that they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. You see that? God will take care of it. He'll even use natural situations to turn things around. I've heard situations of people who their credit score was bad and God turned that credit score around for them. Gave them a loan when they weren't supposed to get a loan. Right? Why? Because God will use natural. I mean, obviously we don't need God to bring hailstones on our enemies, but I'm showing you how God will use natural things to bring victory to you. He's not just a supernatural God. He'll also use the natural. All right, it also said in, let's see where else. There was another one where the enemy was running in fear. You can read it later. It's 1 Kings 20. But they were running in fear. The enemy began to run and hide, and they hid in his walls. And while they were hiding in the walls, the Bible says that God took the walls and knocked them over and destroyed 27,000 of them by knocking over the wall. It didn't say that Elijah did it. It didn't say that a king did it. It said that God knocked down the wall. So those things that are hitting and hiding, God can knock down the wall and allow you to have breakthrough. Are you seeing the heart of God to fight for you? If God would do it with such a vengeance in the Old Testament to fight on their behalf, to fight on His children, for His children, how much more so in the anointing, through His blood, His Son Jesus Christ, in the grace that we walk in, God wants to fight for you. And He wants you to win this battle. And He will as soon as you step out of the way, right? All right. And number 5, I believe this is the last one. Number 5 says this, the Lord will cause your enemy to destroy each other. God will cause them to turn on each other. In 2 Corinthians 20, verse 17, it says this. I want you to look at verse... Oh, we kind of read this one, didn't we? That's okay. We'll continue to go on. This is the story again of Jehoshaphat. Verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now go on. It says this. Verse 22. Now when they had begun to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord sent ambushes against the enemy. Now let's stop right there. What did they do once they positioned themselves? They sang praises. What did they do? They held their peace. Right? So I want you to hold your peace. They went into praise and worship. As they did, the Bible says they were defeated. Now I want you to see in verse 22, it says this. Now when they began to sing. That word sing right there means to sing loud. It means cheering in triumph when the enemy, before the enemy is defeated. God was telling them to sing, and that word sing means to sing with joy like you already won the battle. Before the enemy is defeated, God says, sing with joy. Be victorious before you're even victorious. And begin to praise, which means the exaltation of God or admiration. So as God is going to fight the battle for us, we're holding our peace. We're entering into the joy of the Lord. We have the freedom and the liberty to act like we've already won the victory, even though we haven't won the victory yet. It doesn't mean that we're faking it, ladies. It means that I know God has my heart and mind. I'm not faking it. I can dance with joy and I can praise God and I can live my life every day really happy because I know that God is going to take care of it. I can rest in peace and know that my God is working everything together for my good. And then they begin to not only act like they won the battle, but they begin to give admiration to God. They were thanking God. Thank you, God, for me winning the battle. Thank you, God, that you fight the battle for me. Thank you that it's in your heart that I'm winning this battle. Thank you, God, that you are the great I am. They begin to give admiration. We've got to have a heart of admiration to our God. What things in our life can we begin to be thankful for? It's so easy to look at those things and see what we don't like and the things that we're frustrated with and the things that we wish were different. But if we could put on a different set of glasses and begin to see the things in our life, what can I be thankful for? Am I thankful for health? Am I thankful for children? Some people want children and don't have them yet. You've been blessed with them. It's all your perspective. You've got a husband, as long as he's not beating you and cheating on you. You thank God for that man of God. Look at the good things. Begin to point out the good. I heard someone say one time, take 30 days and only write down the good that you see of your husband and take 30 days and read those things for 30 days, the good things. And it changed their whole perception on their husband because they were so used to looking at the bad, they couldn't see the good anymore. And I think that's how we are in our life. We're so used to looking at the bad. We're so used to looking at the enemy taunting us and our circumstances and how we wish life was different. Instead of having that thankful heart to God and begin to find the things that we can be thankful for. The Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Amen. The other day I tweeted on this, but it was really true. All day long I was just so thankful for everything. I was like, God, thank you for this, and wow, I'm so thankful for that. And all day long, I felt God's presence. And I realized, well, no wonder I felt God so close to me all day. Because you know those days where God's just like close to you, and then there's those days you're like, hello? Are you up there, God? Then there's days, and I realized I had such a thankful heart. Even though I don't see everything I want in my life yet, I had a thankful heart, and I felt God so near and dear to me. And that's what God wants to do for you, ladies. I feel like He started it when we first came together. He broke off a lot of disappointment. He had to first show that He's Father in your life. You had to see Him as Dad and that everything's good. And I know you got so free this morning. Now He's saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me that I'm working everything out for your good. I'll set the challenge out to you. 30 days. To trust God. Can we take a 30-day challenge that we're going to say, God, because it takes 30 days to make or break a habit, they say. 30 days that I'm not going to get crazy about my situation. 30 days I'm not going to try to fight the battle. 30 days I'm not going to get in fear. 30 days I'm not going to let the devil steal my self-esteem. 30 days I'm not going to accept depression. Every time the enemy comes to try to bully me, right? And I start, because he's going to come. He is. But what do? I'm going to look in the image of Jesus. I'm going to get in His Word. I'm going to remember who He is. And I'm going to step out of the situation. And for 30 days, I am not going to embrace the emotions of the situation. For 30 days, I'm going to step out of it. And I'm going to love my Daddy. And I'm going to worship Him. And how do we do that? I literally sometimes tell my mind to shut up. I do. I say it out loud to myself. Shut up. I do. I say it out loud. Why? Because it starts working, and I feel the emotions working, and it wants to play. The devil wants to dance with me. And I'm in the car, and I'll say, no, in the name of Jesus. Not going there. I'll put on a worship. I'll start praying in the Holy Spirit. I'll do whatever, but I'll say no. I'm stepping into Jesus. God fights the battle for me. It's in His heart to have vengeance for me. And I'm going to trust God at His word, because either God's going to do it or it's not going to happen. Amen? God loves you, ladies. We have seen that thread through the whole conference. It wasn't even planned, was it, Mom? But God has showed His love from the beginning to the close. And you know, when someone loves you, they will fight for you. You don't want to see somebody mess with my mom if my dad's around. Huh? Since they were dating, you didn't mess with my mom. My dad's only 5'9 or 10, but he will take you out, right? He didn't even allow men to say bad language in front of my mother. They weren't even saved. But he will take you down, no terms. Why? Because he loves her and respects her, and he's going to protect her. And that's how God is. And that's what we have to get to know, is He loves me that much. He doesn't just love Pastor Gloria that way. He doesn't just love people you see up front preaching that way. He doesn't just love leaders. No, He loves you that way. He loves you that way. He loves you. When He looks in this room, He doesn't see a mass bunch of pink like we see. He sees Linda's heart. And He knows the deepest desires. He knows the longings, and He loves you. And that kind of love, fight with, don't mess with my daughter Linda. Right? Don't mess with Anne. I'm going to make a miracle for her because I love her. That's a man who loves you. But we don't know that love. So because we don't know that love, we're not receiving it. God's saying, no, I love you that much. But I'm going to fight for you. Anybody that messes with you, I'm messing with them. And you know what? We get to stand back and let them. Yeah, that's my daddy right there. Right? That's my daddy. My daddy's stronger than your daddy. My daddy can take your daddy out. Right? Because that's my daddy. Even though we can't see Him, that's the attitude we got to have. My daddy, God's working it. He's making a way. He's going to fight the battle for me. And He'll do it any means possible. That's what I tried to show you. Any way possible. He knows how to change your situation. He knows how to reach the heart of the people. God knows. And He's doing it. I've learned to master in my life, thank you only by God, the ability to manage the enemy pushing me into a place of depression or fear or in my emotions, because I know the damaging place that can take us as women. And I have learned, it'll come, and I might act crazy for a minute, but I've learned that I've got to step into God, and I've learned the faithfulness of God. And listen to me, the first time that you let God vengeance you, you let God do it for you, you're going to have such a deep trust for your Father. You will never question it again, because you will see the faithfulness of God. But we have to let go and allow Him to show us that faithfulness so that we can trust Him. And it isn't, and we can't trust Him until we let Him do what He needs to do. Get out of the way, ladies. Let go and let God. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father God, I just thank You so much for this amazing conference that we've had, Lord God. I thank You, Lord, that You knew the beginning to the end of everything we would need to hear. Lord, I know that at some point throughout this day, something ministered to every woman in this place. Father, whether it was the Word, or whether it was the fun time hanging together in the courtyard, whether it was the love they sensed, whether it was the freedom at the altar, God, we know that everyone had a residue of something by Your Spirit. And Lord, we pull on that anointing of love that You have covered this conference with. We cover every woman in this place with the love of You, Father. I ask, Lord, that You would wrap this love around them like a warm blanket. That God, everyone, when they leave this place, is going to feel the value of a daughter. They're going to feel the protection of You, Daddy God. They're going to feel that everything's going to be okay. Lord, I myself, we commit for the next 30 days to let go and let You be God. We commit, God, to look at the good things in our life instead of the bad. We commit, God, to step into joy and into peace and have a thankful heart. Lord, I pray that every woman here for the next 30 days is going to have an anointing of victory, Father God. That they're going to find that place of peace and they're going to let go. God, they're not going to be crazy any longer. They're not going to worry about their kids. They're not going to worry about their husband. They're not going to worry about the finances or their homes or things that are going on. But Lord, every woman in this place is going to experience true joy. And they're going to experience the covering of your love, Father God. I declare breakthroughs and miracles in every household in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare Exodus 14:14 that you fight the battle for them and that, God, we are going to hold our peace. We declare that and we write that over our homes today. Lord, we send you, Holy Spirit, go to the situation. I want you to see God going right now. Whatever your situation is, say, God, go in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, go to their finances. God, fight their loved ones. God, fight the opposition. God, fight everything in their life that is holding them back. God, we let you be God and fight the battle. Lord, we lift up our hands and we surrender. And we say, not I, but you, God. Every woman, lift up your hands in this place. Surrender. Tell the Lord, I surrender. I surrender, God. I let go and I let you be God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that they are letting go. Just let it go. Tell the God, just tell the Lord you're letting it go. Not I, not us, God. No longer. We're going to be different women. We're going to be changed women. Our household is even going to change. We're going to walk into our homes and we're going to walk in with the love of Jesus. Our kids are going to be like, what's up, Mom? Our husbands are going to be, what the heck? God, that our co-workers are going to see, we're not troubled any longer. Because we're going to let go and let you fight and maneuver and change and give us victory. Father, we love you and we thank you for this. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a shout.